is finished.
Hallelujah. That's the word of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It is finished. Please turn your Bible with me. Let's read from the scripture from John 19. The Gospel of John. And we are reading in chapter 19. I'm going to read from verses 28 to 30. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. Verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in the name of Jesus. Please quickly still turn with me as we open to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I am going to read from verses 15 even to 16. Hebrews 2. I'm going to read from 14 to 16. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he has, but Abraham's descendants. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in the name of Jesus. I say it is finished. That's the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those of us that are very familiar with our scriptures will know that that was the sixth pronouncement of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Earlier on, he has said so many other things. I am thirsty. I forgive you. Today you'll be with me in paradise. He even told his mother, "Behold your son." Why going through all of those pain? But when it was all completed, when it was all over, the last sentence was that it was finished. And I was thinking, how could the greatest man who has ever walked on the surface of the earth, who has all the power in his control, who can even just say a word and those enemies that were after him will just perish, was still pleading, was still asking for forgiveness, was still encouraging them that I still want you, even a criminal, to be with me in paradise, was still uttering this statement, "It is finished." We know that Jesus Christ was the greatest man that has ever lived. If you don't know it, I am telling you this morning, he was the greatest man that has ever lived. The other religions might be claiming this, claiming that, but go and look into their history, into their account. They were never the greatest man. And that's why those words on the cross became so profound, so important, so heavyweight, even for us that believe in him. This is a pronouncement that is all encompassing. Today, many people are misusing the word in the context of finish. Many people misuse it. And this is why you hear a lot of people who say, "Oh, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm finished with you. I'm moving on." Those ones, they are misusing that word. But in the context of our Lord Jesus Christ, What does this word mean to you, and what does it mean to me? It became the greatest word because this word brings the convergence of the law and the prophets together. When the Lord Jesus Christ made that pronouncement, the whole scripture was being fulfilled. All of the prophecies that came through the prophets were being fulfilled. This statement was bringing time and eternity together. It was at that point in time that the old world knew that what was being said earlier is truly coming to pass. Even the disciples that were with him, those who thought they knew him, began to have an understanding that, yes, he has said it. This statement was a statement showing that the mortal was becoming immortal. This statement was showing that the terrestrial is about becoming celestial. In other words, all the things that we know about him here on earth is becoming holier than we used to know. It was this moment that we know that righteousness was beginning to kiss and bring peace to the earth. Even though with all that happened between the Friday of nailing him on the cross and the resurrection money being a period of confusion, the resurrection money was bringing the peace that we desire. And that was why, to those who doesn't have an understanding, they think it is about earthly event. It was more, and I am telling you, of eternal event ordained from the foundation of the earth. And so when you see people around saying they are hunting for egg, hunting for bunny, pity them. So I pray for them, because they don't have a clue of what that event represents. But I am thanking God that you and I will have that understanding this morning in the name of Jesus. Brother, I want to tell you that word, it is finished. But what is the word that makes me and you to be able to stand to say today, we are Christian? If Jesus had not risen from that grave, our faith is nothing. It was a statement that shows that Christianity is not a religion. It is a lifestyle. It is a way of life. It is a statement that is not about creed. It is not about an ideology or a theology, as some people make it to be today. It is not about my idea or your idea. It is a way of life of the person of Jesus Christ, the substitute man. I don't know if he has become the substitute for you. If he has not become a substitute for you, you better accept him. Otherwise, all that we were learning in the Sunday school may be a reality to that individual. But I pray it will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Then you begin to ask, how come now this greatest man, God himself, becoming a man? Remember the scripture that we read in Hebrews chapter 2. He said he came as a man, like you and me. How? This greatest man that made those that statement and defined the whole eternity, defined the whole earthly being. How come he became a man? Let's read from John chapter 1. Please go back to your Bible. John chapter 1. And we are going to read from verses 14 to 18. John 1, 14 to 18. Please permit me to read from here. Here is the word of the Lord. John chapter 1, 14 to 18. He said the word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given." Hallelujah. "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." He became flesh. He came like you and me. And glory be to God for using Mary for that purpose. I was just thinking about it. This greatest man, this amazing God himself, coming in my likeness to be like me, simply because he wants to feel what I am feeling, simply because he wants to taste death on my behalf, simply because he wants to forgive my sin. This is the essence of the cross. So he came. He came. He clothed himself in flesh and blood. Even when we know him to be the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-loving God, yet he crept through the womb of Mary. Just like all of us have crept through the womb of a mother. I want to believe we are reflecting on who this Jesus is to us, and the price he has paid for you and for me. He came. He came because he wanted to pay it in full. That was why he used that word. It is finished. It is complete. It is total. It is absolute. And this is one word or one sentence that brought us triumph. This is one sentence that brought us victory. And I bless the name of the Lord when he told us that this is our month of victory. It is not for us to mourn. No, it is for us to celebrate the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer, as we come to understand this, the Lord God himself will continue to help us in Jesus' name. What was finished? When Jesus Christ said it was finished, what was finished? One of the things that was finished at this very moment was that life of humiliation that mankind subjected him to. We knew the account, how he was insulted, how he was beaten, how he was spat on, even when he was thirsty. They couldn't even give him ordinary water, but rather they gave him vinegar. How many of us can taste vinegar? How many? They gave him vinegar. But can you see the magnanimity of our Lord Jesus Christ? In spite of all this, he was still praying for us. In spite of all that I am doing, making mockery of the gospel, insulting the people that are even preaching, Jesus is still seeking for us. What a great God we have. What was finished? The tempter's taunt was finished. Remember how the devil tempted him after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. We're not reading that. all of those finished. What was finished? He paid the wages of our sins and death. Full payment. That is for those of us who will accept him as Lord and Savior. I am not talking about those who are playing religion. And that was why I said earlier, Christianity is not religion. It's not theology. Don't mind professors that can say, they can write whatever. Let them continue. But one day it's coming. They will know it's not about their ideology. It's not about their theology. It's about a way of life in Christ Jesus to God. What was finished? The power of sin, death, and even that of the devil was completely broken. And that was why. That word, in the Greek word, finished, it means telelestaisha. That's what they say they call it. And that even back then, when they give you a receipt, they will put that word. Meaning that you have paid full for whatever you may have bought. In other words, Jesus Christ has paid full. Paid full. Like many of us are struggling to pay full our mortgage. Everything is paid for. Don't struggle. Whatever you have now, enjoy it. Hallelujah. Christ has paid for it. And that's why when I see people struggling, it's all about mortgage, it's all about this, it's all about... Brethren, we are taking none of this to heaven. But rather, what has been paid for in Christ, why are you not enjoying it? That's why my heart beats when people are running away from the person who can help them, the person who has paid for them. What was finished? The sting of death. D-E-A-T-H. And that's why if you are a true Christian, you shouldn't be fearful of death. But what we see today is, what we see today and what we know is, everybody is crying heaven, heaven, but nobody wants to die. Everybody is crying heaven, heaven, but nobody wants to die. When they hear death, we become miserable. No! If truly you have understood the price that was paid on the cross and that was declared that everything is finished, we shouldn't be fearful of death. That is if you know you have a hope. I believe many people that are afraid of it is because they know they don't have a hope. Or maybe by the time they should bring the work of their hands to bear, it won't test, it can't pass the test of time. The sting of death was finished. Is there paid the price for our sins? Forgiveness of our sin. The resurrection broke the power of sin and death. Please, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want us to have that in our memory. That was part of the passage we use in the declaration for the month as a month of victory. 1 Corinthians 15. I want to read from verses 50 to 58. I will read it quickly, but I want us to pay attention as I read, so that we know that what we are celebrating, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the basis of our belief as Christians. Here was Paul encouraging the Corinthians church too. He said, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. If you are still here. But if you sleep today, and that's why I said nobody should be afraid of death. If you sleep today, and you are sure you are in him, you will rise. and you are rising imperishable. And that was why I said earlier that the word "it is finished" is the mortal becoming immortality. For, I'm now reading from verse 53. He said, "For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory." Hallelujah. And that was why he said, "Where, O death, is your victory?" There's no longer victory for death. "Where, O death, is your sting?" There's no longer sting of death. But if you are not in him, that will continue to taunt. And that is why people are so afraid. Even when there is nothing to be afraid of. Even when there is nothing to be afraid of. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. He gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Therefore, brethren, brothers and sisters, stand firm. Stand in the victory that we have through the cross. Let nothing move you. Not circumstances, not what friends say, not what family say, not what economy is saying. Like I said, all of this will end here. What was finished? The work of redemption. The work of redemption. I know, particularly in this part of the world that we live, when you talk about salvation, it's like, oh, these people that are in need, or these people that don't know what they are doing, they're the ones that carry Christ on their head. And when I hear that, I just laugh within me. I say, "Father, open their eyes of understanding. Open their nakedness to them." That's why when people tell you that, "Oh, we know you always go for prayer, you always die in church," tell them, you rather die in church than die with them in their evil coven or in whatever they are doing that is not of God. Because you are sure if you die in church, I'm not talking of physical church, you die in Christ, you are much, much, way, way better. And unfortunately for us, some of us that are undiscerning, we allow them to even draw us back. We listen to their advice or their pieces of counsel which are not of God. But my prayer is that none of us will be deceived again in Jesus' name. The work of redemption was completed. And this was why he came even in human form. That was why when Jesus said, "Therefore, I received the vinegar," he said, "It is finished." And he now said, "Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit." Hallelujah. In whose hand have you commended your spirit? We still have that opportunity that we are even alive to do that now. It will be too late when one is dead. Because you won't be able to say, "In your hands, I commend my spirit." And this is why we always plead to people that, look, don't look at what others are saying. Just be conscious of yourself in relationship with Jesus. Because if you are looking at things around us in the world today, you might even be confused. And the truth is, God himself has told us, "Many will come in my name." But if you don't discern them, they are liars. They are of the devil. And we see them alone now. Thanks be to God for the teaching we have been having in Sunday school for the past few Sundays. Everything is tallied to this. So when this statement was made, what is the message there for you? It is the message of victory. As he shouted, finished, he gave up the ghost. His spirit and soul departed, and his body laid cold in the grave. It was the body. And unfortunately, that was what Mary Magdalene and her colleagues were seeking for. They were looking for the cold body, but the spirit is gone. The spirit was gone. And I thank God that when they got there, the grave itself was empty. It is that empty grave that announces our victory. I say it again and again. If Jesus Christ was found to still be in that grave, oh, the Jews would have been rejoicing that, we told you, he's not the king of the Jews. He's just making himself to be one. He said it, and it was so. Death was defeated. Brethren, I don't know what is in your life that you are not having victory over, but I am telling you, everything is being paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Just continue to declare your victory over them, and it shall be so in Jesus' name. And I want you to know, if truly you are Him, that Jesus Christ knows your name, He knows my name. Because those have been engraved in the hollow of those palms that were pierced to the cross. So he knows us, He knows you, He knows me. He knows what you are going through. He knows those things that you want Him to complete for you. But just tell Him. But before you can tell Him, it means He knows you. He knows your name. God bless you. And this is why I am thanking God for our lives. And I continue to thank God. And I am praying and I'm besieging us this morning. Please, do not trivialize the essence of the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. I leave us with this passage. Romans 9 verse 11. Romans 9 verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And the Lord bless you. It is finished. Let's rise to our feet. Let's begin to thank God for that work of redemption. Let's begin to thank God for that victory that He gave us over the devil and death. Let's begin to thank God for the debt that He has paid for fully. Let's thank Him for that amazing grace, that privilege. It was a big privilege for Him to have shared, to have taken those sufferings, those insults on our behalf. Let us thank God. Father, we are grateful. Thank you for that amazing grace. Thank you for showing us that love. Thank you for going through that gruesome death for me. Thank you because in this I know I have my victory. Thank you because in this I know I have power over sin and death. Thank you, my Father. Brother, let's say, Father, I thank you for giving me victory. Thank you for giving me victory over the powers of sin and death. If you are here, you are still struggling with sin, please go back to Jesus today and say, Lord, you say you have given me victory. I don't know the sin that is still besetting you, but if you will embrace this victory that Jesus Christ gave on the cross of Calvary, you will be an overcomer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. Thank you, blessed Father. Blessed be your name. Thank you for that amazing love. Thank you for that you did. Oh, this is what has brought me hope and expectation. I am grateful, Lord. See my praises. We thank you as a church. This is the hope that we have. This is the victory that we have. That in you, no matter what comes our way, we are overcomer. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. My shame is gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, he lets his rain. Oh, amazing. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Thank you, brethren. Let us commit our way unto his hand as we go. Father, even as I go in the week, the power of restoration, let it continue to work for me. I declare my victory over every obstacle. I declare my victory over every tongue that may rise against me, that my Lord, my God, you will condemn them for my sake, because you were condemned in the first place for me. Thank you, my Father, even that as I go in the week, your righteousness will clothe me in the mighty name of Jesus, that even as I go in the week, the sounds of victory, hallelujah, will fill my mouth in the name of Jesus, that whatever is yet to be completed in our lives, you will bring a completion to them in the name of Jesus. Is there anyone that is still walking uncircumspectly with you? As we go in the week, Lord, I pray, let the work of the cross be real to them, that we may know that this was why you became man, that you may redeem us, that you may bring us back to your Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. I want us to pray for our members. Many are not here. We are aware many are sick for whatever reason. Let us pray that, Father, let your resurrection power begin to work in their life. That your spirit will quicken their mortal bodies to life. Because you are alive, we are well. We declare their healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, because you shed that blood on the cross and you say it is finished. Therefore, this morning we pronounce that sickness, you have finished in the lives of these individuals, in these families, in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. I want us to pray, and this is the last one. The Father, even concerning that place of worship, finish it for us. Maskush kalava. Yes, Lord, do it to your glory. No man, no policy will share your glory. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. King of glory, we thank you. Again, we are so grateful, so grateful for you coming in flesh to die for us. And thank you, because all that you said came to be fulfilled. The grave was empty. Blessed be your holy name. And I pray, even as we go this week, whatever may represent grave in any individual's life here or in any family, this morning we declare them empty in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please let us share the grace together in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, His goodness and His mercies shall follow us all the days of our lives. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, man. Have a wonderful week. Let's continue to rejoice in the